Turning to 2 Samuel chapter number 8. No, excuse me. Joshua chapter number 8. I'm in the wrong place myself. Joshua chapter number 8. And while you're finding your place, I want to read a verse out of the New Testament. Sort of gives, encapsulates what we'll be dealing with, the subject we began and got through the introduction, I believe it was last Wednesday, and we will try to get as far as we can tonight. But the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now back to the book of Joshua, and we're preaching on the subject, victory is yours if you want it. Victory is yours if you want it. And winning the war over our flesh. And we began looking at, in the book of Joshua, at one of the battles that the children of Israel under the leadership of Joshua fought, and that being the people of Ai. And we're not going to read as much as we read last time because we read the entire chapter. But we will be reading as we go through. But I do want to read the first 8 verses as we begin. So Joshua chapter number 8, verse number 1. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thine hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, Behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach into the city. And it shall come to pass, when they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us, till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, They flee before us, as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them. Then you shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be, when you have taken the city, that ye shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I have commanded you." We'll stop reading right there for this evening, but keep your Bible open. We will be looking at several other verses. Matter of fact, I probably got more scripture weaved in this sermon than I do most. But what I'm finding the longer that I preach is there's nothing more powerful than the Word of God. There's nothing that that will stick and that will stay and has the power to change us more than the Word of God. But I believe every Christian can enjoy victory over the flesh if you want it. If you have no desire to win, if you're satisfied with the way your life is, if you're satisfied with your spirituality and where it is, you're comfortable, you're content, then this message is not for you. However, If you want more, if you desire more, if you want to go to higher planes, if there's things in your life that has been beating you, if there's areas in our lives that the flesh seemingly just time after time after time whoops you and beats you and leaves you feeling defeated, and you want victory over that, you can have it. And according to the Word of God, I want to look at this text and draw some truths from it to prove to us and to give every one of us hope that there is victory over the flesh if we want it. Number one, victory over Ai is promised. And remember, and I'm not going to re-preach the introduction, but if you remember, we dealt with how that Ai was a type and a picture of the flesh. But victory over Ai, or victory over our flesh, is promised. Listen to verses 1 and 2 again. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all thy people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thine hand the king of Ai, and the people, and his people, and the city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take, for I pray unto yourselves, lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. God said, no reason to fear. Though the flesh has whooped you before, though there's some area of our life that you've fallen prey to time and time again, God's saying to you, I have promised you that I have power over Ai, and I'm going to deliver Ai to you. I'm going to give you the victory. And so the victory was promised. And let me say a word about winning. Verse 1 said, and the Lord said to Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thine hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. When the Lord speaks to Joshua, God tells him to go to Ai. God didn't tell him to run. God didn't tell him to avoid it. God didn't tell him to act like it wasn't there. God said, you go to it. You face it. Face the flesh, because just because you look the other way don't mean the flesh is not there. And just because the Israelites would cover their eyes didn't mean Ai was not there. No, God said, face it, focus on it, and be ready to fight it, and I will deliver it and let you win. And the same is true with our flesh. Acting like it ain't there is a losing strategy. And so God promised Joshua the things that that things will be different this time. Remember, they had lost to Ai previous. And so they had a reason and a right to fear it. But God's saying, even though you've lost in the past to this very group, this time's different. This time I've promised you it ain't going to be left up to your own power. This time it ain't going to be left up to your own mighty men of valor. No matter how good and strong you may think you are, I've proven to you, you can lose, and you did. But this time I've promised you I'll deliver you and give you victory. Well, that's a blessing. He assures Joshua and Israel that victory was theirs. Ain't that a blessing to know that things that you have lost to over and over and over again, God's promised you that He has victory. He has a win for you. Yeah. Amen. It's interesting that the Lord called them to return to the place of their greatest defeat. God knew that they needed to overcome Ai before they could move on and for the conquest of Canaan. God knew that they had to get over their defeat before they could ever get to the promised land. And there's areas in our life, hear me, there's areas in my life that if I don't overcome, I'll never get to Canaan. I'll never get to the land in my life that's flowing with milk and honey, the promised land. And listen, if that's true in my life, it's true in your life. There's areas that your flesh is beating you to death. There's areas in my life that I have lost time and time and time again, and it's preventing me from reaching Canaan. It's preventing me from reaching the place of promise. And that's what God had them go back to their greatest defeat so that he could prove to them they could win. And if they could win it where they lost the greatest, they could win anywhere. And the same is true for us. How many times have we lost a battle to the flesh? And I know you could point a finger at me and say, I know some battles you lost to the flesh. I heard, I know, I read. True, true, true. But can I ask you to get your attention and eyes and ears off me for a moment, just long enough to look in the mirror and be honest that your flesh has whooped you before? There's areas in every one of our lives that we have lost many times to the flesh. How many times have we been defeated by the old sinful nature's lust for the forbidden things? How many times have we fallen and wondered if we would ever get back up again or give or rise back and get back to the place that not go further, but even rise up and get back to where we used to be? Oh, I've been there. If that's been your experience, and I'm sure it has, the Lord has a word for you. He says to Joshua, fear not. I have given into thine hand the king of Ai and his people and the city and his land, and thou shalt do to Ai and their king as thou didst to Jericho and her king. To those who have fallen and have lost a battle to the flesh, God said, fear not, I am able to give you the victory. God has made some tremendous promises to his children, and we do not have to live in defeat. I don't care what you're facing. You do not have to live, and you don't have to settle as a loser. You can be a winner in the Christian life. I don't care if your record is 0-1,000. I don't care if you're batting. I don't care. Use whatever analogy you want to. You could have been a pathetic Christian from the time you were saved to present, and God's still promising you, if you want it, you can win. God can turn around. He promised that. We are no longer slaves to sin, the flesh, and the devil. If you're saved, you have everything you need to be a winner. That verse I read to begin with. Listen, there's so many verses. The Bible says we are more than conquerors. He has given us the victory. Amen. Romans 6:14 said, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. We have been made new creatures in Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. We have been given as a child of God a divine nature. Listen to what 2 Peter 2:4 said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, who teaches us about the dangers of sin and about the blessings of holiness. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. God has promised the victory to his children. 1 Corinthians 15:57, the verse I started the message out with, is worth reading again. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Don't say that we have to earn it. Don't say that we have to pay for it. God said it's a gift I am giving you, but thanks be to God who giveth us the victory. Why? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. He won the victory. You're not fighting for victory. You're not fighting for. No, you're fighting from. He's already won, and he's giving it to us. The Lord did not save you to leave you defeated, beaten, and enslaved by the flesh. He saved you to set you free, to enable you to walk in the victory that he gives to all those who walk according to his word and his will. And so that's a word about winning. Let me say a word about waiting. Verse 2, "And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it." Notice that the Lord tells them that they will do to Ai what they did to Jericho, except this time they are allowed to take all the spoils for themselves. If Achan would have waited just a few more days, he could have had all the riches that he could have imagined. Instead, he ran ahead of God and grabbed for himself what God had forbidden. And as a result, Achan and Israel paid a terrible price. Waiting on God is always worth it. And getting ahead of God is always a detriment and a danger. What a lesson for you and me today. If we could just learn to wait on God and let Him lead us and bring into our lives the things that we need to be there, we would be far, far better off. Some of the greatest trouble I've ever got into was jumping ahead of God and trying to help God out and get things or fix things when all I needed to do was simply wait on the Lord. The flesh, we're talking about winning the war against the flesh. The flesh is not patient. The flesh is one of the most impatient things you can imagine. The flesh don't want to wait on anything. Our flesh wants it, and it wants it right now. It doesn't want to wait for its gratification. We are far better off to wait on the Lord to bring those things into our lives that He knows is best for us than we are to run ahead of God. But that is what we do in the flesh. Our flesh will just take off and worry about the consequences later. We make our plans, we do our thing, and never check with God about His plan and His will. And then we make a mess, and then we expect God to bail us out. How many ever prayed a prayer like this? You run ahead of God. The flesh led the way, said, "I want it, I need it, I got to have it, and I can take care of this." And you run up, and you make a royal mess. And then you realize how big and bad of a mess you've made, and there's no way out. And then we pray something like this: "Oh God, if you'll get me out of this one, I'll never do it again. God, if you'll get me out of this, I'll serve you. God, if you'll fix me, I'll live for." You ever pray that way? Only for Him to deliver you and get you out of that royal mess for about a week or two to go by, and your flesh takes off again and does it right there again. And then we pray, "Oh God, if you'll get me out of this mess, I'll serve you." Just hit repeat. When we can learn to wait on the Lord, we are well on our way to victory in the Christian life. Listen to what Psalm 37:34 said: "Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." Psalm 27:14, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So victory over Ai or over the flesh is promised. Number two, victory over Ai is pursued. Not only is it promised, but victory is pursued. Yes, God has the victory to give us. Yes, God can conquer and has made us more than conquerors. He's made us triumphant. However, there is a responsibility on our part. We can't just sit back and say, "All right, Lord, do it all. I'm just going to lay back in luxury and trust your promise." You know what a lot of Christians do? They take literally the song that says, "Standing on the promises." They want the promises, but they ain't willing to do nothing but stand. God wants us to be pursuing. God has promised it, but God also requires us to pursue after victory. It's hard to win a battle without pursuing. It's hard to win victory without fighting. And so victory over Ai is pursued. Notice they embraced God's plan, verses 3 through 17. I'm not going to read it all. But if you read verses 3 through 17, it talks about how they embraced the plan of God. And if we are going to pursue victory, we must embrace God's plan. Our own devices, our own understanding will lead to naught. It's God's plan that must be pursued. It's God's plan that must be embraced. God told them in exact detail how they were to mount their attack at Ai. They were to lay an ambush for Ai, and they would take the city and all its inhabitants. Israel learned at Jericho what happens when you do things the Lord's way. You remember, and I won't re-preach it, but you remember, God gives specific instruction. God gives specific plans, and they embraced it at Jericho. They didn't pull their swords out. They didn't send catapults over the walls. No, they simply embraced the Lord's plan, and they followed the Lord's program, and they simply obeyed the word of the Lord, and they walked around the wall, and they done it exactly how the Lord told them to do it. One time, then stop, and then the next day another. On to, and then the last day, they did it exactly how many. They embraced the plan of God, and the walls fell. And any wall that we are facing, no matter how big, and if you study about those walls, those walls were so big and so wide that chariots of horses, six wide, could ride around the top of them walls. God can make any wall fall if we'll embrace His plan. You say, but my flesh has got me gripped so tight, I can't overcome this. You can't. But if you and I will embrace the plan of God, God can. Israel learned at Jericho what happens when you embrace the Lord's plan. They had also learned what happens when they refuse to do it God's way. They learned that failure awaits that person who goes against the will of God. It never fails. Ain't it amazing? Listen. I'm going to make this real simple to me because that's how I am, simple. Brother Jackie, ain't it amazing that we trusted the Lord when it come to salvation? I mean, we were sinners. We didn't know nothing about God. We didn't know the Bible. But we trusted Him about our sin and that we could get all the way to heaven and we could become righteous and holy and accepted to God if we would simply by faith receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. We believed Him. That's how we got saved. If we can believe Him to do that and remove our sin and remove our hell and remove the condemnation of God that dwelt among us and then trust Him to get us to heaven, you would think if we could believe that. Now that we are the children of God, the flesh should be a simple thing that we could believe Him. I mean, He give us the whole Word. He give us His mind on paper. He give us His plan, His way, and His will. Amen. We know most of it. We have put it to memory and put it in our heart, yet we refuse to embrace His plan and wonder why we fail. There must be an active pursuit or we will fail. It can't be trusting just the day He saved us and then sit back and say everything will work out good and I'm just going to live in victory. No, you're going to have to wake up every day, and I got much more to say about this we won't get to. But this is a daily pursuit. Matter of fact, it's an hourly, minute by minute. If you're going to win over the flesh, because the flesh don't sleep, the flesh don't lay down, The flesh don't pause. The flesh don't go on vacation. And so if you're going to win and I'm going to win, you got to want it bad enough to pursue it. Amen. You will not win. I will not win if we fail to pursue and embrace the plan of God. We need to learn this lesson. When you fight the battle God's way, you cannot fail. Do you want to win?
then learn the strategy. Learn the scripture. Learn the spiritual way to fight a battle, and that's how you win and cannot fail.
When you get sick enough and tired, I mean, just tired of losing the same old battle to the flesh, try it God's way and watch God deliver victory to you. When we do it our way, we're destined for loss and trouble. We're talking about fighting the flesh and its lust. If you're going to pursue victory over your flesh, and if you ever expect to gain victory, then you must go about it God's way. Simple as that. No other plan works. Do you think there's ever been anybody more wise than God? No. And God give us His method. God give us His plan. And said, pursue it. And no other plan works. I'll say more about God's plan for dealing with the flesh later in the message. But for now, you need to know that if you will win the victory over your flesh, then you need to you need constant contact with the spiritual supports that God has given us. I'm going to repeat that. You need to know that if you will win the victory over your flesh, then you need constant contact with the spiritual supports that God has given us. And thank the Lord, God has given us ways to win. Support. We are strengthened spiritually when we're exposed to the spiritual blessings the Lord has given us to help us walk in His will. God's spiritual support system must make a huge part of our lives. Listen, if we don't use God's support system, we will not prevail. He's given us the tools needed to prevail. But if we neglect them, and I'm about to give them to you, God gave them to them, I'm about to share them with us all. I need them as much as anybody, probably more so. And when I fail to lean on and to look at and to embrace the support system God has provided, then I'm bound to lose. There is no winning apart from this. Why leave these things on the shelf? You know why? Listen, when God has supplied and given us the ways to win, and God has supplied these spiritual helps and these tools to help us win, and we leave them on the shelf, you know what that says? What's the title of the message? What's the title of the message? You can have victory. That ain't the title of the message. You can have victory what? If you want it. I'm going to ask this simple question, and I want everybody to answer it in your heart. Not out loud, because I don't want to embarrass nobody. How many of you put on the whole armor of God this morning? I wonder if anybody, myself included, woke up this morning and said, I need my helmet. There's going to be fiery darts coming today. I need the breastplate. I need the shield of faith. I need to put on the shoes prep. I need to put on the whole armor today. We wake up, pull our phone out, check Facebook, turn the news on, might say a little prayer and leave the armor of God laid on the shelf and then wonder why the flesh whoops us. I ain't preaching at you. I'm preaching to us. There is victory for you, but you got to want it. I've got to want it. And sadly, I've failed more times than I've won because I didn't want it bad enough. I'm preaching this message. I'm studying this message, and I have failed miserably knowing this and still failed because I didn't want it bad enough. Are you listening? God's spiritual support system must make a huge part of our lives. Number one, We need the Word of God.
You say, I want victory.
Do you? Do you? He said, hide my word in your heart that you may not sin against me. Do you want victory? You want victory over the flesh? Then get in his word. Hide his word in your heart. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so how to increase your faith to overcome the flesh? Not only read the word, but hear the word. Put in some preaching. Cut off country. Cut off the rock 101, if that's still a thing. And listen to me. Cut on some preaching. Listen, you say, I just can't read. Put on Alexander Scurvy. Put on, you download all kind of Bible apps that'll read the King James Bible to you. Get it in you. If you're gonna have a shot at winning, you're gonna have to rely on the word of God. He give it to us. Matter of fact, there ain't no telling how many thousands and thousands of gallons of blood have been shed. It fill his church up multiple times over at the gallons and gallons of blood that have been shed just so we could have and hold this book that we leave on the shelf. We ought to be ashamed, and we wonder. Oh, we say with our lips we want victory. But with our lives, we don't want it too bad. We need the Word of God. Listen, 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Why? That you may grow thereby. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Not only the Word of God, you'll know another thing that'll help you. We need prayer. We've been talking about prayer. We've been having prayer meeting. And I appreciate all of you being here. But you know what would be a blessing? It'd be a huge blessing to me. It'd be a blessing to God. But I'll tell you who it'd be the biggest blessing to. It'd be the biggest blessing to you and your family if you would get involved in prayer meeting. I don't preach hard against you. I ain't knocking you. I'm just letting you know you are missing out on something that you need. If you want to win over the flesh, prove to yourself you want to win. Do something different. Do something you ain't been doing. You need prayer. Luke 18, and he spake a parable to them to this end, that men ought always to pray and faint not. You know why we faint so much in our flesh? Because we won't pray. Can I share a statistic that I read over 10 years ago, and I guarantee you it's went way down since then. Over 10 years ago, I studied and looked up statistics on how many minutes a day the average Christian prays, and how many minutes a day the average Christian reads his Bible. And I was shocked. Praying, 48 seconds average a day. Reading their Bible, 31 seconds, the average Christian a day. And we say we want victory over the flesh. I promise you those numbers have plummeted. Those statistics would be even less. It takes that long to say, God is great, God is good. Now, listen, if we want victory, we're going to have to pray. There's no victory apart from praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. James 4:2, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. When's the last time, and I challenge you and I close with this, when's the last time you asked God and got honest with God and humbled before Him and said, Lord, I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of my flesh dominating me. And I hadn't asked, but I'm asking, would you give me victory? Would you help me? You said, I have not because I ask not. So, Lord, I'm asking, as your child, would you give me a desire to embrace your will and your way and give me victory over my flesh? Lord, would you help me to make a... The Bible says it's better not to make a vow, make one and break it. Would you help me to make a vow and keep it that I'm going to open my Bible every day? Before I look at my phone, before I look at Facebook or Twitter or Twitter or whatever, I'm going to look in that Bible and I'm going to get a word from you that I may not sin against you. Do you want to win? There's victory if you want it. I ain't going to preach on these, but another thing that God has provided, we need faithful church attendance. We need constant fellowship with the saints of God. We hang around lost people and worldly people all day long at our jobs and in this world. You need Christian fellowship and Christian friends. You need it. If you're going to get victory over the flesh, you got to... Listen... Them old timers had it right when they coined it. Birds of a feather flock together. You lay down with the dogs, you're going to get fleas. That wasn't some harebrained idea. No, that they had been around long enough to know. You hang with somebody long enough, you're going to become them. And you just simply say you need to learn how to hang out with and have fun with. And I'm working on and praying about starting some brand new ministers around here for married couple, that age group, for college age group, outside the walls of the church, just to fellowship together, to go out and eat, to go have fun, to have just to hang around with each other and grow as Christian friends and brothers. 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Listen. None of these things alone give victory in and of themselves. But we need each of them to strengthen us and to help us grow in the Lord. And when we begin to neglect even one of the essential areas, then we are headed towards spiritual trouble. When we feed the flesh and ignore our spiritual needs, it is a sign of impending problems in our spiritual lives. We'll stop there. They embrace God's plan. We'll pick up next week. Would they experience God's power? I hope you'll come back and get in on it. Let's stand together. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd take your word. Lord, help us. Lord, help me to take it and receive it. Lord, I need it. God, I have failed to have the desire, Lord, to have victory over my own flesh. Lord, and I failed you miserably. God, I'm tired of failing you, Lord. I pray you'd help me, Lord, to want it. Bad enough to change. God, bad enough to take advantage of the promises, God, and the pieces of armor that you've given us, God, to overcome. And I pray you'd put that same desire in each and every home, God, in each and every heart. Lord, every father, every mother. Lord, our children are watching us. God, they hear us. God, they see and sense in us, Lord, where we are. Not what we say, but God, who we are. And I pray, oh God, that you'd help us to get to a place of victory, to want it, God, to really want it. Because if we really want it, Lord, we'll have it. And I pray you, the Holy Ghost of God, would make it real. God, way more than what a preacher could say or read or preach. God, I pray that you would take the seed of the Word of God and may it fall on fertile ground and grow up into our hearts and produce fruit. Lord, we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, God bless you. You're at liberty. Shake hands.